Is this a global slowdown or an overreaction?
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Stocks are down all over the world this morning as some investors have their first chance to react to the Labor Department's May jobs report that came out on Friday. It said only 69,000 jobs were created in the U.S. last month. But the gloomy market sentiment isn't just about jobs. Marketplace's David Gura is with us live from Washington now to explain. Good morning, David.
Morning, Jeremy.
Well, tell us what else is at play here.
Well, obviously, Europe, there's still a lot of concern about what's happening there and what's going to happen there with Greece, of course, the old standby. But we're hearing a lot more about financial worries in countries like Portugal and Spain. Spain is a big deal because its economy is so big. And today, Portugal announced it's going to draw more money from international lenders to keep its economy afloat. But the European stuff, Jeremy, that's been going on in the background for a long time now, as you know. I think what's really starting to scare investors is bad news from the so-called emerging markets. Economic growth appears to be slowing in China. Manufacturing grew at its weakest pace there since last year. And now we're starting to see the same kind of slowdown in India and Brazil.
But we've known about a lot of this stuff for a while. So I guess the question is, do we have a fundamental problem here that people just woke up to on Friday, or are the markets doing a little overreaction here?
So you talk to investors, you always need to translate. When investors say short term, they mean quick reactions to market news. Bruce McCain, the chief investment strategist at Key Private Bank, says that in this case, we should be looking at the long term, and that's the deeper fundamentals of the economy.
It's now looks worse than it probably is from the longer term standpoint, but it's still that sluggish, anemic growth cycle that we've been battling over the course of this entire recovery.
And fueling that, of course, is economic uncertainty all over the world. And with investors, Jeremy, you need a translation, and you also need to know that if there's one thing they hate, it's uncertainty.
Indeed. Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And let's check the numbers. Stocks are down, as we said, in global trading this morning. Tokyo shares at their lowest level in 28 years. The Shanghai Composite Index fell 64.89 points. And I'm being specific about that because 6489 is the date of the massacre at Tiananmen Square in Beijing. And today happens to be the 23rd anniversary of that event. Our China correspondent reports the term Shanghai Composite Index is blocked now from search engines in China. On Wall Street Friday, the Dow fell 274 points to close at 12,118, though I think you can still search for Dow on Google here in the U.S. Now to New Mexico, where the state's largest wildfire ever is still growing, which means the cost of putting it out is growing as well. Last year, the Forest Service spent $1.4 billion fighting fires, and this year the bill could be even higher, as Laurel Morales reports from KJZZ in Flagstaff.
Forest ecologist Wally Covington says for a long time, fire was seen as the enemy, and that allowed forests to grow thick.
You can't buy enough fire equipment. You can't hire enough firefighters when you have the landscape so loaded with fuel as we've got it today.
Fire managers think about things like air pollution, water supply, and saving homes when calculating the risks of fighting a blaze. Tom Harbor is the Forest Service director. He says there's an art and science to making these tough decisions.
Sometimes the accumulation of those decisions will run into tens of millions of dollars.
And sometimes it costs next to nothing to monitor a fire in the remote wilderness. But more and more people are moving to the woods, so oftentimes fire managers draw a map. And on one side, they suppress a blaze where there's a community nearby, and on the other side, they may let it burn into a rocky ridge where it puts itself out. In Flagstaff, I'm Laurel Morales for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Tomorrow, a pizza chain called Pizza Patron is giving away free pizzas to customers who order in Spanish. That plan has drawn some criticism, but as our wealth and poverty reporter Shireen Meraji tells us, the restaurant sees the gimmick as part of its mission.
Antonio Suad left the Midwest for the Southwest 26 years ago. Yeah, Midwestern boy, grew up in Columbus, Ohio. So, you know, I came to Dallas, Texas to sort of pursue my dream of being in business for myself.
And with $11,000, he started a pizzeria called Pizza Pizza in a neighborhood he knew nothing about.
It was sort of news to me that I was in probably the second largest Hispanic community in the Dallas Metroplex.
Don't be fooled by his name. Antonio Sawad is not Hispanic. His roots are Lebanese and Italian. So he hired bilingual employees,
changed the name to Pizza Patron,
and has been focused on the Hispanic consumer ever since.
Hola, bienvenido. ¿Cómo le puedo ayudar?
Today, there are more than 100 Pizza Patrons in 7 states. This one's in Los Angeles. Olivia Barba opened it with her husband a year and a half ago. Barba says there are strict rules to be a Pizza Patron franchisee.
We do have to have bilingual employees.
The store has to be in a majority Latino area or one headed there soon. Store managers must live in the neighborhood, and the owners have to get the Hispanic community.
My parents are Mexican descent. His parents are from El Salvador. And then we have a partner as well. They're Mexican and from Guatemala.
Marketing expert Juan Tornoe says brands hungry to capture the Latino market should look to Pizza Patron and ignore brands like Purina, the dog food company advertising a Fiesta flavor.
And they're saying how this food has all these Latino elements that will get your dog in the party mood. It's like, really?
Tornoe says Pizza Patron focuses on the Hispanic market without patronizing, and that's why it works. He adds that he just might take part in tomorrow's free pizza offer.
I'm going to say, quiero pizza, por favor. And I'm going to get a free pizza for my mom. She'll get a kick out of it.
I'm Shireen Marisol Meraji for Marketplace.
And finally, the former head of the bailed-out insurance giant AIG, Robert Ben Moshe, told Bloomberg News in an interview that going forward, people may have to work until they're 80 to cut down on public pension costs. Mr. Ben Moshe, who is 68, made the comments from Croatia, where he was relaxing at his seaside villa. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. On APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.